I'll talk as long as my voice will allow. Whoa. This is fresh. Thank you. Maybe we could cut me back a little bit up there. A little loud. Matthew chapter 4, please. We stayed at camp for a meeting this morning, but I was going to go to Matheson and speak. Sean Byrne was supposed to be there for his mom's birthday, and I guess the majority of the family decided that it'd be better to have it down south, so he canceled, but Dave Campbell took the spot, and I thought maybe I'd better save my voice for tonight, so we'll see how it goes. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 4 and just a few thoughts that enjoyed out of that portion. We'll see how far we can get in the chapter, Lord willing, and see what the Lord has for us. So Matthew chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 1. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted or tested of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered, or he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Another word for if typically is since thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread, or made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, again, since thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Verse 12, Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem, and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. I trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word. I wonder if we just take another moment and commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word and of your scripture, the scriptures that we've been given and that have been reminded. You are still in the business of saving souls. In this day of grace we are in, there's still opportunity for lost, guilty sinners to come to the knowledge of sins forgiven. And we pray that if there are any in our gathering tonight, whether young or old, that do not know the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Savior, have not confessed their sin and asked for forgiveness and acknowledged that Jesus Christ, your Son, died upon the cross for their sins, and that would mean for their sin as well. A lot of people realize that the Lord died, that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, but so many have not made it personal. And so we pray that tonight, wherever your word is going out, that there might be souls won to you for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus. We pray your blessing on the camp season. We pray your blessing on our time together here, committing our ways to you and giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So trust the Lord will bless the thoughts that we'll be looking at from this chapter. And so I was thinking recently of this portion and the temptation of Jesus, or the testing of Jesus, and how the devil and the interactions that the devil and the Lord Jesus have in this first part, and then the beginning of the Lord's ministry, and a little later on, and starting in verse 12, and then those that he called into his service. And so we'll see what we can glean from this portion here. So in the first part here, we have the Lord Jesus being led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted or to be tested of the devil. And we know that the Lord here in this situation, he went face to face with the devil in this instance, and it was a very real situation. It was a very tangible. It wasn't a dream or anything like that. I take it as a very literal encounter that they had, and so there was some very interesting things that we can glean out of this. I trust, and that would be a help to us. On the surface, we might look at this portion and think that there's not much in there for us, but I hope that some of the things that I've appreciated, and I'm sure others have appreciated as well, and you've heard in the past, would be a help to us as we go through our lives. And we would have interactions with the demons that the Lord would have, or that the devil would have at his disposal, and that we need to be prepared to be able to defend the name of the Lord Jesus, defend the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus and of God, and in relation to at least the first 11 verses of this portion here. And so the Lord, we see here that he had prepared. He went out and he prepared and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's afterward hungry. As I looked at that, I was intrigued to search and find out what studies there are that would speak to us of what the Lord would have felt or endured during those 40 days of fasting. And these are some of the things that I came across. So the Lord became very hungry in those 40 days. There's much more going on than the simple hunger that we would feel in our bodies, and there was more going on in a greater sense. But just for a moment, just thinking of the 40 days of hunger, this is what some of the commentators and in real time studies that they have found in terms of those that would go that long for fasting or be without food. See, he would have experienced hunger to the extreme, and you know, we miss. I know when I miss a couple meals or a meal, and that I feel weak, feel tired, and so on. I can't even imagine the 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord would endure here. And it would tell us that they say that your heart size and the cardiac output would decrease. Your pulse slows down and your blood pressure fails. They say the respiratory rate decreases. People become irritable. I know I'm sure I sure would be if I went without food for that long. And strength is diminished, which is obviously we know that. And the muscles begin to deteriorate. And then lightheadedness as well. And so the studies, there was current studies that were done, and they looked at the breaking point for the participants was 40 days in relation to current studies that people have done today and in recent years. I can't remember when the study was. I forgot to write that down. But so they it just reiterates the reality of what the Lord endured in his suffering in that regard as he would enter into that preparation for the interaction with the devil for that 40 days and 40 nights. And so I think for you and I, when we're in that state of extreme hunger or of fatigue and weakness, we are very vulnerable to the devil. We're vulnerable to him even at our high points, but I think when we're at our low points as well, we would become very vulnerable to the darts and the attacks of the devil. And yet the Lord, as we'll see here, proved strong. There was nothing else that he could do. But in terms of some examples for us in the scripture that the Lord knew and used against the devil and some examples for us there and how we should be able to use and have the scriptures at our fingertips so that we can use them as well in our defense and in the defense of the Lord Jesus. And so I think I also see here the Lord Jesus was identifying with our spiritual weaknesses toward the flesh. Apart from the fact that he couldn't give in we can give in to our weaknesses, but the Lord is not able to and was not able to give in. And so we can take comfort in knowing that as Christians, with the Holy, having the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and having the Holy Spirit within us, that we can have the assurance that we have strength and ability above our own to defend or to defend ourselves against the temptations of the devil, and that goes in many areas of our life, all areas of our life for that matter. William MacDonald wrote, "Why should the Spirit lead him into such an encounter with Satan?" The answer, of course, is that it was necessary to demonstrate his moral fitness for the work which he had come to do. And the Lord suffered like us, but his temptations were special, such that Satan was testing a fact. And, so we think of that. He was saying, the King James says that if thou be the Son of God, and I believe other versions would say, since. And so he would know that he is because of the position he held in heaven before he fell. And so we would see here that since thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And so I would see in that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, you don't need to turn there, but you can if you wish. Hebrews 4 and 15, don't want to misquote it. In the King James it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted or tested, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so that's very comforting to us to know that, there's many, many things that we could look at in relation to the life of the Lord Jesus and the things that he endured and that we endure, and that we can be victorious over those things, just like the Lord was victorious here in this situation. And so the Lord Jesus Christ here, in verse 4, we have him defending. And he says here, I'll read it again. "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And that would be taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we have that there. And so an interesting note in relation to that, not that I can't take it for myself, but it says the source of bread is more important than the bread itself. And, you know, for us as believers, that's very important. You know, we need things in our life to survive. We need, there's daily provisions that we must take, water and food and so on. But we must not forget where those things come from, and they come from God. They're provided by God. And one of the important parts of our life is spending time in God's Word. And, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ knew Scripture better than any of us ever would. And yet, and here, he was able to use the Scripture to refute, or to, I guess you'd say, I don't know if rebuttal or, but defend, at least back to Satan, and to say, or to the devil, and to Satan, and to just to remind him of this fact that, you know, he said, command that these stones be made bread, and that there's more to life than the bread alone, but the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so, again, we can take great comfort in knowing that one of the greatest aspects of our daily intake should be from the word of God, and the things that we can glean from that, and that God would have to teach us from his word. And so, you know, the Lord, or the devil, he attacked the spiritual aspects of Christ, or the deity of Christ, and that if he was saying, if thou be, or since you are the Son of God, and you know, it's the devil, you know, we can go back to Adam and Eve, where the devil would twist the words of God in relation to tempting them to take of that forbidden fruit, forbidden the tree, and of the knowledge of good and evil. And he will use that. The Satan will use that for us as well. He will twist things that we have heard, that we know from Scripture, and we need to be able to discern what is truth in relation to what the devil would use against us. And I know, I can't think of any specific situations, but I know where there's been times where I've struggled with different things, and wondering, you know, and questioning. And was able to go to Scripture and get the confidence that I needed, or the assurance that I needed, of what I was, the Lord was putting in my heart. And there was that struggle between, I guess you could say, between the flesh, the sinful nature, and what the Lord would be trying to tell me. And so we have as well, the lesson I think would be here is to never test the words of God in a negative way, but rather rely on his words and his promises. You know, we can, we can't call God's promises and words into question, because they are true. They're 100% trustworthy. But we can go to God, and we can ask God questions. You know, he wants us to ask him questions. And you know, if he's putting something in our heart, to search it, God's heart, to search God's will. But we shouldn't do it in a negative way. By any means at all, we should be seeking God's will in reverence and in holiness and in respect for who he is, and for the place that he holds, the creator of and sustainer of all things. And so we need to rely on God's word and rely on his faithfulness and his promises for us. And as I mentioned earlier, we've seen that the devil has used, Satan had tried to confuse the words of God in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, with Adam and Eve in the garden. And, you know, he will use that. And we see different situations where the words of God were used, and they were tried to trip up the Lord. Even different ones, maybe not directly by Satan or the devil. There are situations, though, where God's words were twisted and turned to try and fit the needs, or to try and fit the situation. You know, we see that as well. Satan attacks the physical aspects of the Lord, and in that he was trying to cause him to turn the stones into bread, and yet the Lord was not willing to give in to that. He could have easily done that, but he chose not to move on that temptation or test by the devil. We would see as well that Satan was trying to persuade the Lord Jesus to act outside of God's will, And I would see that he was trying to move him, to make a move. And so for us, again, I think in seeing that and thinking of it in that way, for ourselves in relation to seeking God's will, we need to be careful and to just make sure that we are not going on our feelings and our other influences around us, but that we are going based on God's will alone and not on what we think is God's will, but we need to check it and search it and make sure that we know that what we're moving on is truly what God would have for us to do. And sometimes that takes a long time for us to get to that point of knowing that it's God's will and knowing that what God has put in our hearts or put before us is truly what his plan is for us. Because if we step outside of God's will, we may see blessing. The Lord is able to do wonderful things and doesn't need us, but yet we still need to make sure that we stay within the will of God and discern it. And one of the ways is to know Scripture and to study it. Verses 5 to 7, we see there, I see two key points, the holy city and the pinnacle of the temple. And it was interesting as I was looking at this, why Satan would choose these locations. And I can't say 100%, but the temple was the place where God dwelled. And thus, God would have been very near and would surely care for his son. Possibly that was the devil was thinking. I mean, because he does make reference here that he shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone, in Malachi chapter 3. And so I would see there that possibly that would be why the devil would use that. And then what a show it would be as well for the crowd of worship leaders that would be there at the temple, below, and then would see if the Lord, leaping out and been caught by an angelic host. I think that would have been quite a show. And yet again, that was not in God's purpose and plan. And that they would, he would suddenly come to his temple in Malachi 3:1, and that was that he wasn't how he was to appear in that great and a glorious way and being caught up by the angelic beings. And again, as we get through the Gospels, we would see the fulfillment of the Lord's revealing the Lord's purposes and comings. And we would see as well in verse 17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord himself speaking these wonderful words that are as true today as they were back then in relation to the need of having our sins forgiven, repenting of our sin, and having that relationship with God and being prepared, because the kingdom of heaven is truly at hand, is near, and is as near today, as I've already mentioned, as it was back then. And so, whether young or old, we need to be prepared. We need to ask God to forgive us of our sin. First of all, we need to acknowledge that we are sinners, that we need to acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin, and that he can forgive us of our sin because of what his son accomplished at Calvary for us and dying in our stead. As I mentioned as well, there's a very big lesson for us here, and in relation to the devil knowing Scripture and how important it is for us to know Scripture as well. And many have mixed up Scripture and have taken Scripture out of context. And I can't remember exactly where it is. It just came to my mind. But I know my father-in-law, in a jokingly way, where it talks about stealing. And if you move the apostrophe or the comma, and it talks about, let him steal, let him who stole steal no more. And I think if you remove the comma, it's something about that. And so, just in relation to changing the Scripture, you can change the context if you change the way that it's written. And so we need to be very careful in that we search the Scriptures. Even those of us that speak and those of us that listen, when there's people speaking, we need to be careful that we don't always take what we hear for what it's spoken, and that we seek out what the Lord has for us as well, and what the Scriptures really say. and tested by fire. I remember hearing as a young Christian many people preaching that test what is spoken through the fire of Scripture and making sure that it'll stand up to the to that test. We may end up getting out of here early. I think my voice is getting weaker. I was just a few things to bring out before we maybe wrap this up. Verse 9, he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And I was thinking of that, and as I was contemplating that, my mind went back into the Old Testament to Daniel and chapter 6, and how we had there, we would have the lesson of Daniel not giving in to that, to the requirements there of bowing, of not praying, and it says in verse 7 of chapter 6, so all the presidents of the kingdom and governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or any man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and as he did aforetime. And then over in, starting in verse 14, we would read of the account leading up to Daniel being put in the lion's den. But in verse 16, it says, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And then verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. So just thinking there of how Daniel would not give in to not obeying what he was supposed to do in praying to the one and only God that he was called to serve and to worship. And so it said here, and he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. This is the devil speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I also thought of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 3, just a little bit earlier. And there they were to bow down to this golden image. In verse 10 of chapter 3, it says, thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And then in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And just reminding us of that, and and how their faithfulness was demonstrated in being preserved in that fiery furnace, as was Daniel in the den of lions. And so just reminding us of the fact that we are to worship and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 10 it says, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, get away from me, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. And I know, for each of us, I'm sure, when we've felt the darts of the devil against us, when we are able to defend with the help of the Holy Spirit, and to defend, and we can tell Satan to leave us alone, and we can, hurl back at him the scriptures that God has, provided for us, and we can defend against those temptations. The devil will flee, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is there, and is able to minister and to encourage us and to strengthen us in our walk. And the devil is going about seeking, as a roaring lion, the scriptures tell us, seeking whom he may devour. And so we must be very careful. We must be on guard against those things that the devil will use to bring us down. And there's no greater joy, I would believe, for the devil than to see a Christian fall and to just walk away from the things of God. It would bring him great joy. And attacking families and marriages and so on, and assemblies, the devil is very busy in that. And, we just look back over the generations that have gone before, and we would see how the assemblies have been hit, how families have been hit, how Christians have been hit, and have fallen in sin in many ways. And, speaking of for myself, being on guard and not judging in any way, because, I can't remember, again, I can't remember the exact scripture, but, when we think of someone's sin, and that we need to be careful, because there go I in relation to that. And so we have to be on guard. And if we think that we can stand on our own strength against the temptations of the devil, we will be very quickly awakened to the fact that we can't, and that we need the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives to guard against those things, and to make sure that we don't ruin the testimony of the Lord and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in any way. And a note I had here: we must guard against worshiping the creature rather than the Creator, and thinking of that in relation to worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, and just making sure, there's so many people that worship creatures and so on, and all the, you think of all the idol worship in the Old Testament and so on, and then there's even idol worship today, maybe not in creatures, but in people and so on, that people have, will put up on a pinnacle and so on, and then when they fall, when those athletes or those people fall in sin or whatever, people's hearts are crushed as they look at them. But when we think of the Lord Jesus, when we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never be let down, because he will never fall in any way. He will never give in to sin. He can't sin. He never could sin. And so as we worship the living God and the Lord Jesus Christ, we can always know for sure that we are worshiping one who is alive, who's in heaven, and who's seated at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us on our behalf. And that's great comfort for us, because we know that every day, as the devil would seek to destroy us, that we have one who intercedes for us, and we need to build up our strength, not on our own, but through prayer and being, together and reading God's word and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread, as we have in Scripture. Those are all things that are tools that can help build us up in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we'll just close in prayer. Our God and loving Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the help that we can glean from it. And we just pray that you would be with us this week as we would go out into the world. We know that being gathered together in this place and other places like this, that we are protected, and being together, there's strength in numbers. But as we go out physically on our own, but we know that each of us as believers, we have the Holy Spirit with us. We have you with us every day. And so we just pray that we would live in the full reality of that truth, that we have are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and we've been bought with a price, and we are not our own, and that we have one who loves us and cares for us deeply, very deeply, Lord. And we just thank you for that, and pray that you would just help us in these things. We pray that we would that you would keep a hedge about us each day, that we would be protected from the temptations of the devil, in that we would have scripture available in our minds and our hearts to use, the hymns that we sing. All these things are so wonderful as we go out each day, and as a hymn would come to mind, and scripture, even verses or parts of verses, we're just so thankful for that, that those that taught us scripture as a young age, that they were able to settle into our hearts and our minds, and that each day we can rely on the truths of your word. So we thank you, and just ask your blessing now as we would part until we meet again, Lord willing, In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.